There were some people in Denver who we were speaking with a couple of months ago. Interested in Baba, not Baba lovers, really. I mean, who am I to say? But they were curious about, as long as we're talking about science fiction and all of that, about the mention of the 18,000 planets with life and the three planets with human life. And they wondered whether Baba meant that literally or whether it was allegorical somehow.
Well, at that time, the mood was such that we had to accept it as literal statement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's 18,000 planets, supposedly God speaks with human life, but three types of worlds.
Three types of human life.
Human life. In other words, depending on the development of heart and head.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's mentioned. Yeah, it's mentioned.
18,000 with human life.
No, but
three types.
No, not human life. Habited.
Mm. But only three planets with human life.
No. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Then he talks about
different types of human beings that are there and all that. Head and heart,
75%.
Proportion, yeah. And then he comes to the earth again and says that planet earth means not just this earth, but planet like earth.
Right.
This time it is this earth.
Right.
So where the favorable situation and circumstances and atmosphere and all this is such that only on this earth that I come time and again to awaken. And only on this earth is possible the involution of consciousness. Mm. Only on this earth is possible the realization of truth in human body. In spite of so many other planets where you have human habitation, that's how it comes. The earth. And time and again he comes, when he comes in a male human form. That I told you all yesterday. Yeah. Yeah.
Did Baba dictate God speaks to you?
Yeah.
What was it like? Could you describe a little bit of it? I mean, because it. Were there times when he would make a gesture and you'd say, oh, that means such and such, and he'd say, no. Yeah. I mean this, and it means that.
And I had to then sit, and then write out what I had gathered from speaking and all that. I would take down and then again formulate it properly, fair, and read out to him the next morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again he'd make changes, this is how it should be, and so forth. Yeah. But he didn't sit all at a stretch to dictate this.
Oh, no.
We will be traveling, and we are somewhere here, and it's night time. Sometimes you get the whim to say something on it, or somewhere after the strenuous must-tour day, and so forth. I didn't have any desk or anything of sort. I didn't have any office to write these things. I had my desk, which was just a tin box. That was my desk. And in that would be the papers along with my whatever the kit that I used to carry for the tour, wherever we go. And that was my pillow in the night.
To keep, to safeguard it?
No. There was no pillow. So I had to just wrap up my coat and make it as a little cushion on the edge of that, because it might hurt. It hurts, like that. So that's how it was.
How long did it take? It's a big, fat book.
Yeah, it took a long time. And then when it was, compiled, we didn't have a typewriter. I still have the handwritten things. The manuscript is there in the archives. But then, naturally, Ivy was all impatient, to have it. All the time that it would have taken a longer time. But because Ivy was impatient, and then Don Stevens will be coming and he'll carry the manuscript, Baba, hope the manuscript is ready by the time he comes and this and that and all. And all of a sudden when he had dictated and completed the whole thing, he tells me to get it typed within a short time. Means within 15 days the whole thing. and we don't have a typewriter or anything. So I had to go to a court in Satara and got the court typist to accept this thing so that I can pay him some money and get it typed and all that. Oh, it was a terrible thing. I had to bring the typewriter every day to that Rosewood place. The bungalow's name was there. Sit there, dictate to him, and he'd type out, and again we had to check it and all that sort of thing. Bhav had just come then. So I would take his help. He said, come on, Bhav, let us check both together. I'll see the manuscript and he'll read the type thing and all that. And the typist was a horrible type. You have no idea of the tape, the type and all that. That day also passed by. It was like God sitting on a chest, you know, like God speaks.
Did you get it done?
Yeah, it was done by His grace.
You got lots of errors, top on them, typographical.
Yeah, they must have changed it, they knew it, typographical. No, but they, when we started comparing, we changed with ink and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at that time. But still, it was all done in a hurry, you know, like that. Yeah.
Did you work day and night during that period?
There was no such thing as day and night. Whenever we used to get time. And when I got time, I did work in the night also. And there was no such thing as secluded place. So I had to it's only like this room where all the mandali are here. And I had to sit down and write. And the mandali is chatting and laughing, speaking loudly and trying to distract me. They would do it with purpose. You know how we were all young, you know. Yeah, and they would do that. So I had to just take some, a huge bed sheet that was there. I would put it on there, lantern there, kerosene lamp there, near my table, and this desk, and I would write there in spite of it all. So I had to do that. I still remember Dr. Donkin was so beautiful. At the time, when I'm almost completing it, very complicated chapter was there, and I had to concentrate on it. Because Baba dictated in Gujarati, Marathi, Hindi, and all that, so we had to immediately write in English and all that. Yeah. So I was doing that. I used to get so engrossed in it. I had to. Not that I liked it. Because it was diametrically opposite to my nature, you know. So I had to. So he, at the time, the phase was that there was no such thing as food facility at our place. We had a roof over our head. But in a room like that, Donkin was with us. So what he did was, he would say, come on, Yaraj, we had to go for begging. Begging for a food. Yeah. So now, naturally, we all had to go together. Baba told us to go together. Now, I'm in the midst of something very important. It has struck me and I'm writing. And they said, no, come on, leave everything and go. So I still remember, I'm coming, you go, I'll follow, I'll run up to you all and you go. And a last sentence I would want to finish. One day he got so peeved, he took my both legs and dragged me out of the room. <on my back>. Such is the thing, you know. Yeah. I had a big body. Luckily, we didn't have to go begging house to house. There was a place, a sort of a small, kitchen-like thing. And there, the man had said that you come, we were not supposed to sit and all that. We had to carry a ball, a brass ball we have. I think in the museum you'll see Baba's begging bowl is there, in the museum at Mehrabad. Similarly, we also had. So we had to go there and beg food, and he'll just dole out all the things, mix it up all, and then we carry it and back. And that's how it was. And
what city your town is this?
It was Mahabaleshwar at that time. Wow. This happened in Mahabaleshwar, this episode. Of course, at many places we were.
Yes.
Did Baba give the book the title, God Speaks?
Yeah. He also gave the dedication. That sustains reality. Dedicates the illusion that sustains reality. He also gave, all that he gave was there, but I like these things. The title, I like it very much. The dedication, I like it very much. And the conclusion. That's to my heart, you know, that conclusion. Yeah.
It's about the dedication. I never could understand that. The dedicated to illusion that sustains.
Then whom should he dedicate to? God? God speaks dedicate.
But
he speaks to whom?
But that sustains.
But that sustains reality, yeah.
What is the sustaining reality?
Well, it is what he said. Suppose, how would you be the lover of the Lord? Or how would you call the Lord to be the beloved of you all, unless there are lovers? Light is there, but how would you testify and be a testimony to light? It's the darkness, ignorance, illusion is a testimony to reality. So it is sustained. Reality is sustained because of it. Otherwise, reality is by itself, but how will it be consciously brought home, the reality, unless and until illusion were there? So it is illusion that sustains the concept of reality all the time. Reality cannot have any concept of illusion or anything else. Reality is reality, but reality, illusion gives us the concept of reality. Yeah. It's just like Baba gave a very good example. A multi-millionaire. Multi-millionaire. You know, Baba would give that expression of many millions, billions, you see. He's a billionaire, you may call him. So, he has the only son. And he and his wife naturally dote over his son, over their son, pampering and all that. And they want to protect him and keep him and all that, and all the education is given. He's not supposed to get out and be polluted with the pollution outside, you see. So he's kept inside the room. He's there, inside the room. Which is all the time filled with light and all that. It's full of light and everything, because he has to study, he has to know, he has to become aware of the whole, whatever the world is like, without being polluted. So he's kept in, closeted in a huge, nice room, very comfortable and everything. So he grows up. He's a teenager now, and he has become aware of many things, very wise and all that. And his friend used to come one. Father had a friend, he had a son, so they made friendship and he was permitted to go. He would be there and chatting and talking and all that. One day this friend, he is now grown up also, he's a teenager, along with this teenager of a billionaire. So one day they are seated together and says, how about this? Do you realize? How do you like this whole light? Every time I come, it's lighted and it's full of light and all that. How do you stand this? He says, light? What do you mean by light? He says, don't you know what light is? This is lighted room. He says, no. What do you mean by that? It's always like this. It's always like this. So he goes out, now he's a big boy, he goes out and fiddles with the main switch and puts the switch off. The whole room is darkened. And then after a while, he comes, he puts the switch on and it's lighted. So he says, what happened? So the son of the billionaire says, what happened? What was that? That I had not known. He says, that was the darkness. That's the reason why you didn't know that you were all the time living in light. So darkness had to testify light. So that's how darkness sustains the concept of light. So when it was darkened, then he realized what light is. when the room was darkened.